If you have not been around, if this is your first week with us this month, welcome to the exploration of what mission is all about. Very often mission is thought of as that thing that people do on the other side of the world from where we are. But what we've been looking at here is that all of us are called to active mission wherever we are, every day of our lives as followers of Jesus. And so this theme is the Good Life community and those four spheres of influence. The first sphere being this center. The second sphere being the community that we're in. The third sphere being our nation. And the fourth, this world. And the thing that we realize quite quickly is that we can be active in multiple spheres and focused specifically on one probably. But, you know, all of us can be engaged in this center. There's so many things that happen here, whether it's recreation or, you know, this gathering or any other gathering that happens here. We can all be involved in different areas in our community, and you can pick up on some of those today in our nation and in our world through prayer support. And don't forget, as Stephen just said, all those who are out there serving. But those are our four spheres. And last week we did a little bit of review, and I will each week just to catch up anyone that we might have missed. But what we said in the first week of this series is that the natural outworking of faith is mission. The natural outworking of our faith is mission. 2 Corinthians 15:20 says this: "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." That we become that active expression of that appeal of God that says this: be reconciled to me. Be restored to me. Be restored to hope. Be restored in forgiveness. But we are called to be those ambassadors for Jesus. We said that mission is about all of us. And mission is about living a life intentionally. And it's about living a life with purpose. And our role is various in nature, but it's one in purpose. And that purpose is that people might know God's love and grace and forgiveness and know Him personally. And so this is what we begin to ask questions of ourselves in, where we use this statement that our role is various in nature, but one in purpose, is that we all have something that we can participate in somewhere, somehow, that is a declaration of that love and grace of God. And I use that term that we become agents of that transformation in this earth. And last week we looked specifically at that sphere of influence that is our center. And so much of the work here in the center and in our daily lives is about that journey of life that we do with people. We had this scale that we talked about, and it's where people are moving in development and growth in certain areas. People are moving from distrust of Christians and distrust of the church to a trust in Christians. And they move from apathy to curiosity. They move from being closed to being open. They move from just meandering and wandering to actually seeking. They move from being lost or being separated from God to being restored in relationship with Him, to being what's referred to as saved. And all of these things are what we are about. And after talking about it last week, I was probably, you know, more aware of it than I may usually be. And I'm here multiple days in the week. But Tuesday went to visit one of our staff who had injured himself and ended up in hospital. And so I went up to the hospital. So I'm walking up the ramp. I look, and here sitting on the bench is one of the ladies from here, Nolene. And I'm like, hey, Nolene, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm getting some tests done. And how are you feeling? Well, not real good. And so I'm like, well, can I pray with you? So we sit right there outside the hospital in the waiting bay, and I just pray. And while I'm praying, I hear this voice, you know, calling out her name, and you know, I'm trying to wrap up prayer as this person who's going to give her a ride is calling for her. And I finish and I said, you know, this is Nolene here. And then I said this thing. I said, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, I was just praying with her. And then I stopped and I looked at this lady and I went, actually, you know what? I'm not sorry that I was praying with her. I said, because prayer is actually this opportunity that we have to invite the God of all creation into our moments to just engage with us. So actually, I'm not sorry at all. I'm sorry if I delayed you, but I'm not sorry about praying. You know, and she just sort of acknowledged me, and Nolene said thanks, and I went on in to visit this fella. I visit this fella, talk with him, pray with him, and as I turn to leave, here's a lady in the bed opposite. And I just sort of, you know, hi, how are you? And she said, actually, not really well. That's probably a silly question to ask someone in hospital. Yeah, but yeah, not real well. And I said, well, what's happened? I fell and I broke my hip. Oh, I'm sorry. And I said, is that recent? She goes, yeah, just this week. And yeah, it just happened on the first week of my holiday. I'm from New Zealand. And I'm like, well, is there anything we can do? And I just begin this conversation. And she sort of is like, well, no, things are probably all right. And I said, well, there's one thing I can do. Do you mind if I just pray for you? She said, no, that'd be great. I end up just praying with her. That afternoon, Tuesday afternoons, I'm in the pool here swim teaching. And as I seem to regularly do, I broke a bone this last week. And so not in the pool this week. And but I wasn't going to miss the opportunity of being out there. So I just sat and I talked to all the families of the kids that I usually teach. And in those conversations, came across a moment that was very clearly a moment that would be an invitation that this person would know God's heart for them. So again, I just said, you know what, do you mind if I just pray with you? And this person said, no, that'd be fine. But the lesson was over and they were about to get up and leave and got up to leave us. They said that'd be fine. And I went, no, I don't mean just like, can I casually pray for you? I mean now, like right here. And this person said, yeah, that'd be good. So sitting right here by the pool, just this invitation to connect with a God whose heart is towards them. And it's just going to become a first step in an ongoing and I believe ongoing conversation about a God who knows us and cares about us. And we just become that instrument that invites people to engage Him. I don't know what all the answers are going to be. And I can't pretend that I have all the answers for everyone. But I tell you what, I have an invitation for everyone. And that invitation is, do you want to just turn your eyes to God? Let's leave the result and the solution to Him and the outworking of that to Him. But can I initiate it with you? And we can do this. All of us can do this all the time. Because God hears every one of our cries to Him equally. God doesn't hear me any better than He hears you. He doesn't hear, you know, prayer team people better than He hears you. It's great to pray together in unison, but what prayer is just this cry to God saying, God, I want to know You and I want to know Your engagement in this situation with me. That is so much the place where people begin a journey. And this is what we get day after day, week after week. And this week we go outside the bounds of the four walls of this center and its unique positioning that we have in our community.
to the community itself, to our locality, to our region. We just sort of kept expanding, and we know that God's called us to have a place in the way that He's uniquely positioned us with this building and the work out of it. But He has placed us uniquely on this coast, right where we are. I call it very simply just mission on location. It's mission for all of us, wherever we are, whatever you are doing. And when I talk about community, it's not just geographical location. Community is so much more, because people aren't just looking for a geographical location to live. People are looking for a sense of belonging, a place where they feel like they matter. And that has always been the cry, you know, the heart cry of this center. We want people to know that they matter. But the outgrowth of that is our lives should be a declaration, no matter where we are, that people matter to God. The way we relate to them, the way that we treat them. Community is a network of individuals always connected by a common thread. A thread of belief, a thread of interest, a thread of activity, a thread of employment, a thread of hope, a thread of longing. But community also speaks of intentional connectedness. Because there are certainly a lot of people that live in a geographical location that are completely disconnected relationally and remain in isolation. Community is intentional connectedness, an effort from one person to another. It goes outside the bounds of location. It goes deeper than our skin to those inner places of our hearts. And each of us, when we think of it like that, are involved in multiple spheres. But all of us carry equal responsibility to bring light and life into that community. Our part is making a choice to be intentional. We can be light and life in our school communities, in our work communities, in our residential communities, in our recreational, in our social, in any one of those communities that we are interwoven in with other people. We have that choice whether we are going to be deliberate or not. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, and you may have heard it before. It's a Bible passage that is such a clear statement of this. Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world." A town that is built on top of a hill can't be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and then go and hide it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to the whole house. But in the same way, we ought also allow our light to shine before others, that they might see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. That they might see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. You see, as individuals, we go back to that definition that I referred to in the first week of this series that says we are those ambassadors of God. We are bearers of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we are. The cry of that to be reconciled to God, that desire of God for people to walk in relationship with Him, that is revealed and exposed by the way that we live our lives and conduct ourselves. You'll remember Galatians 6, 9 and 10. It says this, "Don't become weary in doing good. For in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't quit." And it says this, "As much as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially to those of the household of believers." And what I believe is this, as those ambassadors, it is the way that we do life that declares what we really believe. It is the way that we do life that declares what we believe. Because our mouths can just blah, blah all day long. We can talk about we believe this. We can talk about we value that. But the way that we live our lives, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we treat others really reveals and declares what we believe. Colossians 3:17 echoes some of those sentiments of Galatians 6, and it says this, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Or whatever you do, do it in a way that it will be glorifying to Him, that it will be bring glory to His name. Whatever you do. And the thing that's probably been confusing over the years is what I referred to a little bit of that, you know, dualism of thinking, where we have split thinking between, you know, those things that are, secular and those things that are sacred and those things that are spiritual and those things that are carnal. And we, you know, we end up separating life into all of these categories. And by doing that, it's easy to neglect God's call to us for the way that we live every area of our lives. We can separate spiritual and go out, well, my spiritual activities are like attending a gathering of the church, and my spiritual activities are moments that I find to pray, and my spiritual moments are about, you know, reading the Bible. And we neglect the reality of the rest of our life lived to the glory of God. The Bible talks about doing our jobs well. It talks about caring for our children. It talks about loving our spouses. It talks about walking in righteousness. It talks about living a life where when we do business, we operate with equal scales. We don't treat people differently. And all of these things done to the glory of God are spiritual. What you do in your work, the way you work, your attitude towards other people is spiritual by definition. And therefore, it's important that we don't get off track, that we don't separate them out. And it's really the fault of, you know, centuries really of probably church teaching. And it's been done with good intent to tell people, you know, separate yourself out, make your life different. The way you live should be different. But it sort of got, you know, relegated to these places that we deem spiritual. John Wesley, and I love John Wesley, he is one of the greats amongst the shapers of the church, and his teachings have been taught over and over again, his interpretation of the Bible. And you hear him echoing Galatians chapter 6 here, where he says this, do all the good you possibly can to the bodies and souls of men. Be active. Give no place to indolence or sloth. Interpreted, don't be lazy. Give no occasion for others to say, you're idle, you are idle. Many might still say that, but let your whole spirit and behavior refute the slander. Be always employed. Lose no shred of time. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatever your hand finds to do, put all effort into it. But John Wesley also taught this, and I believe his heart behind it, but if we're not careful, it begins to separate life out. John says this, beware of desiring anything but God. Now you desire nothing else, every other desire driven out. See that none enter again, keep thyself pure. Let your eye remain single and your whole body shall be full of light. Admit no desire of pleasing food or any other pleasure of sense, no desire of pleasing the eye or the imagination by anything grand or new or beautiful. No desire of money or praise or esteem, of happiness in any creature. And I look at that and I go, really? That's a bummer. But we can, and I know what John is saying in that. I believe his heart behind that is, do not be ruled by these things. But teaching for a long time has begun to separate out these components, that if I desire any of those things, or if I enjoy beauty or the arts or any of that stuff, then now I've stepped into this secular or carnal realm. And if I'm going to be pleasing to God, I have to be in this spiritual realm, and I have to be doing all the spiritual things. And we miss so much of what God has called good. The talents, the gifts that He's given. And we should be using those for His glory. In fact, it's Paul who writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, when he says to Timothy this, enjoy everything with thanksgiving. Enjoy everything that God has given with thanksgiving. Be thankful for God, to God. Be thankful for the gifts that He's given you. Be thankful that He's, you know, I love nice food. I'm thankful for my taste buds when I enjoy nice food. I'm thankful for things that we can do. Recreation. A good friend of mine just texted me during that break and he said, just want you to know, Dead Man's is pumping. Dead Man's is my favorite surf break on this coast, and it rarely works well. And he just knew that would be the time to text it to me. I'm grateful for friends. I'm grateful for the things that God has given us to enjoy. And we shouldn't just remove ourselves from them. We should engage them with thanksgiving to His glory. Isn't everything that is beneficial and done to the glory of God then spiritual? In Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 17, there are all sorts of instructions for us to live in that mission. In fact, I'll skip back for a moment to Colossians chapter 1, because Paul says of Jesus that He is the exact image of God. For by Him everything was created, heaven, earth, everything invisible, everything visible. And everything was created by Him, and everything was created for Him. And in Him everything holds together. And I believe that that encompasses everything that He created us to be and to do and to enjoy, everything that He made us to live in the fullness of. When we recognize God's goodness and His gift and we live those gifts out, it's got to be glorifying to Him. The instructions for living on mission, therefore, are not just things like, you know, attend church, sing songs, find quiet times. Verse 12 says this, as God's chosen people, holy, deeply loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, be kind, be gentle, walk in patience, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues, put on love. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and be thankful. And verse 17 again, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it recognizing that you are a carrier of the presence of Christ. I was so encouraged this last week. I went out to have lunch. It was Monday. And went down to this new little sandwich and wrap shop down along Mooloolaba, free advertising for Danny's little shop there. And went in, and one of the young fellows from here, Callum, was standing there, and he'd just ordered his food. And I'm just chatting to, you know, Callum, and when Callum leaves, points to Callum, by the way, he was there, he's just got married, and he was there buying lunch for his wife to take to her at work on his little motorcycle. I'm like, you're a good man, Callum. In fact, that's Callum behind that camera right there. But I was just like, I'm just going, man, you're a good man. But then as I turn around, this guy, Danny, who owns the shop, he looks at me and goes, "You know him?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do know him." And he goes, "You're from Good Life, aren't you?" And I went, yeah, I am. And he goes, "That's where you know him from." I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And he goes, he says something like this, "What is it about Good Life? Everyone who comes here from Good Life is happy and is peaceful and is like joyful, and they all treat one another well." And so don't go to his shop and wreck his impression of us. But there is this thing, and I said, "Well, what makes you say that?" He goes, "On the Sunday night after the, I guess you have church or something." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You're all Christians?" "Yeah, we're Christians." He goes, "Well, they all come down here and they're so polite to me, and they stand in line and they just talk and they like one another." And I'm thinking, you know what? None of them went down with any high intention of being missional to Danny. They went down there to eat food. But in their bearing of Christ in that community of believers, this fella could not help but be touched by it. And this is what it is wherever we are to be on mission. That is a voice in our community. That's why we must discipline ourselves to walk in it. That very statement, verse 17, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through Him," immediately goes into these instructions. And they are to husbands, and they are to wives, and they are to parents, and they are to employees. And contextually, other places Paul writes about employers. And this is not Paul saying, you know, whatever you're doing, so long as it is spiritual in nature. He says, whatever you are doing in word and deed, do it to the glory of Jesus. And I'm going to reverse 18 and 19. I'm going to go with 19 first. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Let's combine those scriptures. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Husbands, and do that by loving your wives. And don't be harsh with them. And do that by setting a tone for your home that is harmonious, and a tone for your home that is safe, and a tone for your home that is honoring, and a place in your home that your children will grow up in the knowledge of God by the way that you live. That's the context of this. You read it again, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to the Father, wives, in the way that you honor your husbands and come under that loving covering as is fitting in the Lord. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, children, in the way that you honor and obey your parents. And whatever you do, word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus, fathers, don't embitter your children. Don't discourage your kids. And so what you see here is parenting, being married, the way we treat our spouses is part of that mission, that outworking of Christ in us, that whatever we do it for the glory of His name. And then it goes on. And actually this week, Friday, I was talking after prayer Friday morning with Maureen Voice. And Maureen, I said, "What are you doing with your day?" She goes, I'm going to Brisbane to do babysitting, and then I'm coming back up the coast to do babysitting, and then tonight I'm babysitting." And I'm like, "Wow, you do a lot of babysitting." And she goes, "Man, I love the opportunity because it's just my opportunity to love children the way that God loves them." I went, "You know what? That's mission." She goes, "I know. And I just do the things that God's put in my hand to do." In all this, Maureen got that. But it goes on, it says, "Slaves, I know some employees feel like that, but it's talking about employees, obey your earthly masters, obey your bosses in everything, and do it not just because they're watching you, and if they see you doing good, they're going to give you favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So what? In the way you work, be on mission, honor God. Just finishes that passage by saying, whatever we're doing, it's the Lord Jesus that we are serving. And there's so many passages throughout the Bible that give us instruction how to live out this work of Christ in us. There's no one in here that could say, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it does apply to us. This is about not just our center in these four walls or this gathering. It is about the community, our locality, our region that God has us in. And we've got to trust Him that Christ in us has purpose right where He has placed us. Right in the midst of what you are doing. Through the center, there's a lot of things that we sponsor and operate through this center. But it's not just about the center. There are ways we impact our community. Tina Goodall has been operating the Lifehouse for some time now. And the Lifehouse is one of those places where we have expression of just the heart of God and His care for people in our greater community. And Tina, I've just asked to come and share a couple of stories in the way that that place impacts. So, Tina.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning. Okay, well, the Lifehouse, we've been around for a little while, but it's just such an amazing place to be involved in. It is our local, where we work out our local community mission, okay? So we don't need to go out on the mission field. The mission field is right here in our local community. And I just got a scripture that we're based on, and it's James 1:27. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay, so what we do, our heart is to serve and resource community services on the Sunshine Coast. And there's probably in the vicinity of 300 community service organisations on the coast. So that's a lot of people to connect to, a lot of people working and serving to help people in their distress. And some of those are any mental health units on the coast. There's men's and women's shelters. We help and resource school chaplains, hospital chaplains. What we do for hospitals is we do little Ziploc bags and we put soap and toothbrush, cake of soap, and maybe a little disposable shaver for the men. And we pack those up and send them into the hospital, and also we pack pyjamas up and put them in, give them away as well. That's just one thing that we do. One of the people we support is Grandparents Program, Grandparents Parenting Children. Now, a few years ago, I don't know if you remember, but there was a mum and her baby killed in a horrific car crash here on the coast. But there were siblings to that little girl, and the grandmother is now caring for them. And she came into the Lifehouse one Wednesday morning with the Grandparenting Program. And she just was, as she walked in the door, there's just stuff everywhere, and it's easy to get overwhelmed because we're just jam-packed with stuff. And, you know, it's not about the stuff that we've got, because we've all got stuff, but it's about our heart. It's about what we've got in us. If we've got Jesus Christ in us, we need to share it around. So our heart was to connect with this lady and anyone that comes in then and share about who we are and what we do, and it's because of Jesus Christ. So this lady came and she just was overwhelmed as she just walked in the door, and there's just toys everywhere and books and she just started to cry, and she just said, you know, when my daughter's house was packed up, she said everything went into a skip bin, all the kids' toys and clothes and school books and everything. So she had to start fresh. And she said the one thing that my grandson wanted the most and missed the most was his Buzz Lightyear. And we actually had two or three Buzz Lightyears. They were all just sort of poking out, sort of waving at her. But she was able to take home a Buzz Lightyear to her grandson, and he would have a gift that afternoon when he came home from school. So there's great little stories like that. See, God looks after those little things. God knew what that little boy wanted and missed the most from his mum and from his home. And there's another story of a lady who came in one Saturday morning. She just had a backpack on, and she walked down the driveway. And normally they come in with a community service worker. But I just said, I just introduced myself and said, how can I help you? And she said, well, I heard about you. So she heard about us, and that's a great thing. She heard about us, heard about the things that we do, hear about the good things that we can do for them. And I asked, how can I help you then? And she said, where have you come from? And she said, I've come from the hospital. And she'd been in isolation, and she said, I'm about to go back out into community. I've been out in community for a long, long time. And she had nothing. She even had to borrow a cardigan off a nurse to come down that morning because it was a cold morning. And I said, okay, well, let's get started. And I grabbed some boxes. I said, we can fill them up. And we started filling the boxes up. We've got all the kitchen items, all the stuff we've got, that practical things that you need just to start a new home and start life all over again. And I realized she wasn't engaging with me. And I looked at her, and she was just like, she was just stunned. I looked, and the tears were just streaming down her face. Her bottom lip was just quivering, and she couldn't move, and she couldn't even talk. She was so overwhelmed with this kindness that all I was giving her was kitchen items, cutlery and pots and pans and things like that. But she said, I've never, ever in my life been given anything. And at that point, there was an engagement, and I just said to her, God loves you. There's a place for you. You can assimilate back into community. There are people who love you, and life goes on, and life will go on for you. And it was a great opportunity to speak into somebody's life. So those are the sorts of things that we do. We have garage sales every 6 to 8 weeks, and that from there the money, what we earn, we can put back into our community, and that's the idea, to sow back in. We have a lot of volunteers. None of this can happen without volunteers. And I have a great bunch of faithful, dedicated, committed volunteers, and I'm so grateful for them. And also, if you're any of this, if you feel as though you can come and be involved, and even if it's for one hour a month, please come and see us and come down, have a look, and see what we do. Okay, thank you.
There are things that we do into the community. It's an extension of the heart of this place, and all those things Tina's talking about, and you can be involved. And if you feel like, I don't know what to do, just start somewhere. Just if it's not your workplace or your home where you have free time, we do things like rapid response teams, and you can talk to Ryan about those. And those are, we hear about a need, hospitalized or whatever, someone's sick, and these teams go into action of going and visiting. They go into prayer teams, go into teams that cook and provide and all those sorts of things, service project teams. We just had our young adults go out into the home of one of our senior citizens in the community. About 30 of them descended on her house and like revolutionized her world in one day. Our Good Life magazine that, we pick up, and probably a lot can just take it for granted. We get handed this thing. That goes out to 10,000 people in our community, just stories of hope. Ruth and Bonnie are just really instrumental. Kerri-Ann Bennett in the design of that. It's all in-house, all those that write and participate in that. It's all just this extension into our community, and there are courses that we do, seasonal things, programs that we put on. One of those which is so right at this season is a CAP course. Our CAP courses are financial courses, and if you remember last week, the graphs that I was sharing about where the community is at and its needs, there's this huge gap for people in the handling of their finances. And this is just one thing that we offer, and I thought it was worth Ken sharing a couple of quick stories on the impact of that.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Some of you may be aware of the program or not, but it's just started this year. CAP money originated in the UK, and we're now facilitating that program here with a number of volunteers that have been trained through the program. Kept Money is really helping you, your friends, your workmates, to make sense of your finance. Why do we do it? Well, it's because we believe getting your finance in order helps get your life in order. So it's at a very base level. We've run two successful courses already this year, and currently we have another couple planned for this year. Next one's starting this Saturday. In fact, we do have some places available, still available for you if you're interested, or we've got a workmate or family person who might benefit from the course. We have a clipboard over at the Connect table if you want to sign up for there. So the whole thing about it is that it's free. So we give our time. The program is set there. We have workbooks we work through. This postcard here you'll see around. Grab one of those if you want to give it to a friend. Or it's got the information on there, and it'll just jog your memory on when the courses are on. The facilitators, the people who run the course, they do it, fronting it, as well as assisting the people, the delegates who are there. They'll also come alongside at the night, but also if there's more help required, they will do that as well. So just three quick stories. And I'd just like to mention as a disclaimer that there's no live animorgs have been used during the running of these courses, just in case you're worried. This came through, or these examples came through from the last course that we had. I have made monthly savings simply by contacting each of these companies and negotiating prices. The investment property manager saved me $20 a month, medical insurance by transferring to adequate cover, Austar by cutting back on the channels I never use, Telstra and mobile phone by adapting the packages, and I swapped my electricity provider. Saved $85 a month, which is $1,000 a year. Okay, so those are the sorts of things that people learn. Another story I'd like to share with you, the last course we had a single mother with two young children, and at the end of the course we encouraged them during the course to actually live by cash. So your incidentals, your petrol, your supermarket money and those sorts of things, take that amount of money out and try and using it, because there's power in using cash, believe it or not. The end of the course she came up, took that challenge up and handed Tina $50. $50 was what she had saved during that week. I thought, well, that's great. Was she going to put it back in her pocket? She said, I want you to have it. And the thing about that is that that's sewing back in to the program. So that's a scriptural principle that she learned, which we didn't even teach on the course, but she gave it back. So that's a real blessing for us. So remember, it makes good sense to have your finances under control.
Those are just, again, things that, you know, through here we offer to our community that bring, you know, hope, and God cares about them. And very quickly, it's not just about what we do through here. It's people who are a part of this community that have taken on this passion for what God's given them to take it into their workplace, their business place, their recreational and social space. And so Rob and Kat, if you guys had come quickly, I just want you to hear a couple of these stories. Rob Lowther, who's coming up on this end, is part of Christian Surfers, but his passion for people was just born out of that, you know, that love for that surfing community. And Kat Stout, you'll meet in just a moment, just, you know, midwife and nurse in local hospital. And Rob Bate runs the whole board store network that you'll find around the coast. But I just want you to hear, because these are just people that responded to what was in their hand and in their heart, and then they have just continued in the outworking of it. So I'm going to start with Kat, and there's a microphone at your feet there. Kat, if you could just share a little bit of your story, what you've taken on, why you've taken it on, and what some of the impact of it is.
G'day, my name's Kat. I am a midwife. I just work around the corner at Budgerum at the private hospital. So if you're driving past, pray for people in the hospital, because that would be awesome. More prayer, the better. Yeah, so I was just sharing recently, yeah, there was a lot going on in the workplace, like with my colleagues, and just a lot of health issues, and yeah, I got to work one day and I heard about five really hectic kind of stories. And I just was like, man, I need to pray for my workplace. And so I went to YWAM one morning. YWAM worships on every Monday, which is awesome. And I said, guys, can you pray for my workplace? And so they gathered around and prayed. And ever since then, and it happened to be International Midwives Day that day, that was pretty epic. Yeah, ever since then, I've just, yeah, God's really opening doors to and opportunities as well. And yeah, people have been asking for prayer at work. They're not Christians yet. but yeah, just asking for prayer in their households. And
so you would be conditioned about the workplace, like in your education and your training, that you need to separate out your faith and your practice?
Yeah, we're not really, yeah, like at uni you learn not to, you know, push your faith onto anyone. And I guess you think of a hospital, you think the patients need prayer, which they do, but yeah, there's a whole lot of work, I guess, colleagues that really need prayer.
So how did it change for you? What are you doing now? And have you seen fruits of what you're doing?
Yeah, I've definitely seen, just people were quite closed to prayer and closed to God. When I first came, yeah, there was a particular person that was like, yeah, very anti-God, I suppose. And yeah, now they're asking for prayer. So that's pretty exciting.
It's super exciting. And now you know, because it used to be sort of left up to the duty of the chaplains of the hospital to do the praying, but now it's expanded.
Oh, yeah. There's also this new initiative at the hospital. So it's a Uniting Care Health Hospital. So there is a faith there. But, yeah, they've just started this thing called Praying Hands Initiative. So you can wear a badge if you want to be a part of that team. And anyone in the hospital, so patients or staff, if they want prayer, they can ask you.
Yeah, so good. And it's all just because somewhere in Kat's heart, she had this burden for her workmates and said, what can I do about it? Rob Lowther, you moved over here from the West Coast.
Yep.
Why?
Yeah, so my wife and I were living in Perth and we moved to be the coordinators for Christian Surfers in Queensland.
Why did you get involved in Christian Surfers? Because you were studying something else entirely.
Yeah, I'd made a bit of a decision to have a career change while I was over there. And then, God just really laid it on our hearts. I've always loved surfing and so does Kat, my wife. And that's kind of...
Different Kat.
Different, not this cat, yeah. and so it just came about that, the people that I usually connect with really well is surfers and sort of grown up surfing, and God just laid it on our heart that there's so many surfers on the coast that just don't know God, that have never felt either invited or connected to anything of church, and God gave us a platform through Christian Surfers to connect with other surfers and have an opportunity to share about Christ, to have a presence in the surfing community, to see the surfing community as our mission field.
What sort of activities do you do? I mean, is it just, do you just go and do Bible classes? Do you just go, how do you connect with them?
So we don't just go down the beach and start Bible bashing and stuff like that, but We plan surf trips. We just do things that other surfers are already doing. So we'll join the local board riders club. We'll go and serve at surfing events, offer to cook the barbecue, pack up and set up and all that kind of stuff. Just make connection through that with the Surfing Queensland organisation, which we're affiliated with now, and they call us up and ask us to come to events because we come along not to just to love on people, to serve people and be a part of the event and sort of sew into the surfing community. And
I heard a story recently that just when you said that, we go and we serve and we go and serve their surfing events. And it's so true of what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't come just to be served, but I came to serve and give my life a ransom. Yeah. And some of the local board riders were down with North Shore riders and they turned up their first morning to serve. And of course, you know, they all look cross-eyed at these CS guys like, you know, what's your agenda? And so one of the lead guys of North Shore Board Riders turned around and said, well, you can start. Like, they asked, well, what can we do? And he turned around and he said, well, you can start by picking up that piece of dog do. You know, he just, you know, and so the guy from CS just went and picked it up and went and put it in the bin and then came back and goes, what else can I do? And it like totally floored these North Shore board riders. Like these guys are legit. Like they would do that. And so what are the fruits you see in lives then?
Yeah, so you just sort of see a lot of what Tim's saying there is just this shift in people's opinion of Christians in general sometimes from, you know, like, well, you guys get out and actually do some crazy stuff, like some fun stuff. We see, you know, we do run Bible studies that sort of go around different people's houses and people are just, it's an open invitation from the surfing community to come and kind of discover more. Like there's one girl in particular who last year was just at the skate park skating and then tagged along to one of the surf camps that we did down to Ballina, and, you know, our whole world got kind of shaken because she heard of, you know, we just share testimony, we kind of talk about life and, you know, how us coming to know Jesus has just turned our world upside down, and that's what we share. And now she's like one of the leaders in Christian surfers at Coolum, and she's going down the skate park all the time and connects really well with the young girls who skate and surf, and is sort of trying to, you know, inviting them to the Bible studies and inviting them on the camps and things like that.
It's just taking on that thing that, you know, it begins as just this interest and just wanting to connect with people. And Rob, on this end, if you can grab that mic, you, about 10 years ago, had a real desire. I was chatting with Rob the other night and just listening to his heart. And how did yours begin?
I guess, yeah, we're a YWAM ministry. I got saved and did YWAM straight out of high school. And from there, going through YWAM in Newcastle, got Lauren and I, my wife, got married and then moved up here. But in that time, yeah, God always had, as a skater, I was always a skater since I was a kid.
Okay, a skater is someone who rides a skateboard, just in case you're not clear on.
I do like roller skating, but skateboarding is a bit my preference.
So you always had this interest in skating, and so you actually go and do a youth with a mission course, and then 10 years ago this thing is born in your heart that goes, I want to what? Impact that skater community.
Yeah, like the funny thing is when you're a skater, when I was not a Christian, my heart was just to travel the world and skate. That's what you want to do. And I had a job and I was saving up and I couldn't do it because you got a job, you got to work for your dollars, and it just wasn't happening. And then I got saved, did YWAM, and then God said, here you go, here's your dream. And I think by 20, I was all like, I've done my life's dream. I traveled the world. I'd been to, you know, numerous countries doing skate demos, jumping kids. And that was it. And I was like, oh, my life's, and I can retire now. It's like, I've done my, but then, yeah, God opens up the doors to infinity things. You know, a skate brand from Canada said, here's some skateboards. Why don't you, you know, because we didn't have any money. Here's some boards you can have to ride. And why don't you sell some? And then that's how the idea was birthed, you know, and that's just listening to God.
So they opened up some stores. You've probably seen they began with one little store called the Board Store. From that, you now operate four locations, engaged fully in the local skate community here on the coast. All those cars that you see with the big white Board Store sticker on the back, that's all born out of these guys. But you're not just engaged in this local community, you're involved in the skate community nationally and internationally, right?
Yeah, our first business was wholesale, which we still do. So we wholesale Australia-wide. Some of our product is going into Europe now and Japan and New Zealand, US. We do have different bearing brands. Our main brand, Eternal Skateboards, which we inherited from Canada, who the guys who originally sponsored us, we ended up taking over from them. We're trying to push it, you know, internationally. So yeah, and that was our first business, and then from there we've got board stores, and it's only because I think God opens up those windows, and we're always like, what do we do? You know, like Boris, my business partner, and I, we have no business training as such. Or people are always like, oh, what's your, you know, secret? And it's like, well, God told us to, so that's it.
So you have this whole thing, and then you open up the woods, the indoor skate park down in Kiwana. Out of that, you're doing the Heels on Wheels, girls groups, skate church happening out of that. And all this began was just these couple of guys that went, man, we've got this thing that we love to do, and God, we'll just surrender it to you. And and now operating a full-blown business, impacting the community, the skate community around the world through brands, through sponsored skaters that are engaged. And this is the thing I want you to hear is, I love that Rob just sort of goes, yeah, well, I didn't even have like business degrees or anything. I just felt like God goes, do it. And you walk in integrity. Man, they've just opened up this, you know, just rebranded the store. You've got to go and drop in. They have good coffee down there too, Stoker's Coffee. That's free advertising. There's so much. Just go and drop in on these guys, see what they're doing, and go and encourage them. Because this is all about the community of Christ bringing hope and light and life, and your business and your social group and your interest group and your golfing group or your tennis group or your bowling team or your whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I love in Kat's story, this one person that was like, you know, we're going to ruin you. They found out she's a Christian. They're like, you know, we're going to mess up you when after you've been here for a while. And now those same people are the ones going, Kat, would you pray for us? And you just see these incredible, you know, moves of God in our communities when we take on what it is to be ambassadors for that message of Jesus, which is hope and life and restoration and reconciliation and forgiveness and peace. And so I want to encourage you, just as you hear, you know, these stories, any single one of us caring for children, whatever it is, do it all to the glory of God. And trust that He will give you influence. We have been given a mandate, a call, to bring people and say, be reconciled to God. And I want to just really encourage you this morning, ask God, what sphere has He placed you in? What is His call to you? What has He equipped you with? Next week, we're going to talk about our nation. The week after that, we're going to talk about our world. And there are people who are part of Good Life here that are doing things at a national level that I hope will challenge you, will encourage you to just take it on and do what is in your hand to do. Let's stand together. Father God, we just commit ourselves to You again this morning. God, You are a God of restoration, a God of reconciliation, a God of hope, a God of forgiveness, a God of incredible love. And God, You are the one who made us, who gave us our gifts and our abilities. And Lord, You invite us to engage with You in them and through them and use them to Your glory. And I thank You for these stories through Lifehouse, through Cap Money, what Maureen's doing through, you know, babysitting, what, you know, Rob and Kat and Rob are doing through, you know, their interests and their workplaces. God, we're seeing just that love and that grace of Your kingdom extend into our communities. And Father, for all of us, I pray that You would stir us, that You would give us vision, that Lord, we would walk in ways that are honoring to You in everything and be bearers of Your name. And now, Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us and that You would keep us. And Lord, that You would make Your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us as we so often just fumble along through life. Lord, would You lift up the light of Your countenance upon us? Give us Your wisdom, give us Your discernment. And bring us Your peace all the days of our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.